watch another event on 16th of March. Hi, David.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, can you tell us a bit more about this event on the 16th of March?
Sure. Well, on Saturday for the St. Patrick's Day weekend, we're holding our annual Moon Watch. We do this roughly around the equinox, which is March 20th this year, when the moon is at a first quarter, so half a circle phase, because that's when you get the long shadows cast on the dark side, not bright side of the moon, and it throws into sharp relief all the craters, mountain ranges, valleys, and other features on the moon. So this is the best time to see it in a telescope, because in March, when the moon's the first quarter, it's at its highest in the sky. It's so high up, it's almost overhead. That gives you the sharpest views. So we set up giant telescopes and invite the entire country to come along and have a look at the moon like they have never seen it before. It'd be like going there in a spacecraft. You'll be that close to the moon through the huge telescopes.
Wow, that sounds very interesting. So, does anyone have any questions?
You sound very passionate about it as well, David. Is it just the Moonwatch event that's on the 16th of March?
Well, yeah, we'll actually be looking at the planet Jupiter. And tonight, as it happens, if you look at the moon tonight, it'll be a crescent shape, so banana shape tonight, not yet a first quarter. But you'll see just to the left of it is a brilliant star, in quotes. That's actually the planet Jupiter, and it'll still be fairly close to the moon on Saturday night for the watch. So we'll actually be showing Jupiter in the telescopes as well. And a bright comet has just appeared. It comes back every 70 years, called Pons-Brooks. And it's going to be at its very best at the end of March, but even with the moon up, we'll be able to see it in the telescopes as well. So we didn't really plan to have this year as a comet watch as well. But it's going to be the annual moon watch, comet watch, and Jupiter watch all in one. And you don't have to do anything. We'll point the telescope. All you have to do is just come and look. There'll be free tea and coffee, a bit of a talk there as well. So once you're able to get the entire family out, they'll be amazed at the view. I mean, I've been looking at the moon for decades, and it never gets old. There's so much detail. It just draws you in every time you look through a telescope, especially a big one that's going to get you as close as you could possibly get. So that's our big event for this weekend. There's always a monthly talk happening every month. We just had one, actually. It's Irish Astronomy Week this week. So on Monday, we had our online talk about the first light in the universe. There's going to be another one about black holes that merge together and give off gamma rays and all exotic things like that on April the 8th. A partial eclipse of the sun then as well. And in fact, these are going to be repeated during the year. There's another eclipse on the moon in September, another giant comet coming in October, would you believe? So it's all happening in 2024 for sure.
Definitely. It's mad when you think about how much goes around in space, and we don't even really notice it half the time, because you're saying all these things and I'm like, Jesus, how did I not know about any of this?
Yeah, it sounds like a busy month ahead for the cosmos.
Yeah, all over the world.
I'm just wondering, David, where would people go? I'm imagining that's going to be the observatory in Dunsink.
No, it's at Astronomy On's headquarters. Telescopes these days are very portable. And some of our longer standing members who have these big telescopes very kindly bring them along. There's a small charge, so it's a fundraising event for the club. So you go to our website, which is astronomy.ie, and book your ticket there. And then come along on night, 7 p.m. Saturday night. It'll go ahead regardless of weather, because all the telescopes will be there to look at if not through. And there'll be refreshments as well. We can answer questions for people. If you've got your own telescope, you can bring it along. If you don't quite know how to use it, we'll help you set it up. And also, remember, on the night, the International Space Station is going to fly over, just after 8 p.m., in fact. And it's got 7 astronauts on board. And it's the brightest thing in the sky when it flies over. That'll just add to the spectacle as well. And you can see that every night from this weekend for 2 weeks. And if you go to a website again, astronomy.ie, down the bottom you'll see our social media, Facebook, X, Twitter, Instagram. And every afternoon we post the time to see the space station and if it's going to go near the moon or Jupiter, or if there's going to be another craft going up to it or coming away from it, chasing it across the sky. So all that kind of excitement in Irish sky. And even for some display of the Northern Lights, we'll have that on our social media when it's predicted to happen. We had a brilliant display two Sundays ago that we predicted, and sure enough, it got dark. Amazing views of the Northern Lights.
Nice, I've seen those.
And, you know, we want people to join Astronomy Ireland for Irish Astronomy Week and get the magazine every month.
It sounds quite exciting. I mean, I'm new to, I haven't really spent much time on the website. I've had a brief look out there. It seems like it's a very inclusive. It seems like a lot of fun.
Yeah, and the Moonwatch is actually great for kids in particular. It's become one of our most popular events. I remember when you had 1,200 people there.
I think it's great the kind of way that you're given the sort of the running commentary over the whole weekend of the events and the movements of like I say the moon and the celestial bodies and that. It's kind of new. I've never seen that done before. It's a cool concept, sort of that running commentary. A lot of people point a telescope up into the sky and not know what they're looking for or how they should be looking for. But the fact that they can turn to the website and get that live feed, that updated commentary on what it is exactly they're looking at instead of just staring up into the abyss.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just coincidence that it happens St. Patrick's weekend this year. St. Patrick's not linked to the moon at all in any way. Easter is an astronomical event. It's actually the first Sunday after the first full moon that happens after the equinox. The equinox is next March the 20th, Thursday night, and then there'll be a full moon, and then the first Sunday after that, that's the date of Easter. It's the last day of the month this year.
Last
and that's where it comes from. That's an astronomical event, at least the date is calculated.
I'm learning so much from this interview. It's like every second you have a new piece of information to throw out at us. It's definitely a great way. First of all, great way to kind of maybe start off St. Patrick's Day weekend. Keep the kids nice and tired for the next day, so they're not too. So they're not too insane. But also just like it sounds really cool. Kind of what Nigel was saying, that you guys provide sort of updates, because I can imagine astronomy is a sort of difficult field to get into casually with the telescopes and everything. So it's nice that people can kind of just go to your guys' website and see that information there and kind of get started that way.
Yeah, and you know, it's a very easy hobby to get into, and I love it because it's the whole universe we're studying, and you can be interested in any aspect, from just the aesthetic beauty of the photographs that come back from space. You know, it's like an art magazine when you look at our magazine every month. We feature the big pictures that are coming from the Hubble telescope, from the James Webb telescope, the giant telescopes around the world. We love a good visual feast. And then, of course, there's a science at the end of the day, and the experts with all the physics and the mathematics, you can get into it that angle, you make a career out of it. So anything from appreciation of art right the way up to a scientific career, it's an incredible subject that encompasses so much. That's why, you know, especially during Irish Astronomy Week, we want people to know there's a very active astronomy community in Ireland. In fact, Astronomy Ireland, relative to population, is the world's most popular astronomy society. So you'll be in good company, and we especially cater for beginners and kids. This is definitely something different to do for St. Patrick's weekend. So that's one of the reasons we decided to go ahead and run it this weekend, even though it's going to be a holiday season. People looking for things to do. And this is certainly a unique event, and I can assure you won't be disappointed. You and the telescopes are amazing.
Of course, it's kind of great that you guys are using the opportunity that the stars have given you to your advantage, and that it falls on the St. Patrick's Day weekend.
And of course, don't forget that Comet Ponds books, which will actually be best in the last week of March and the first week in April. You should be able to see it with the naked eye, only just faintly. There's an even brighter one, could be 100 times brighter than this, which will be really spectacular, happening in around about October or so. So it'll be good practice for that particular comet. We don't get big comets like that very often, maybe once every couple of decades or so. That's the one in October. But this one will be a pretty decent comet, and people with great cameras and telescopes around the world have been sending amazing pictures of the comet already. I've been trying to watch it. I haven't seen it in over a week. The skies have been particularly cloudy in the last few days. It's very frustrating. You see all these incredible pictures taken from around the world, and all we ever see are clouds. But hopefully we get a clear sky for Saturday, and then we've got 2 weeks, end of March, 38 when we will definitely see it. And we'll tell people more about that. In fact, the article going into our magazine to be actually posted out to people next week. So aimed at the public, if you want to see that comment, there's a complete guide coming up. So do join us on the big message from Irish Astronomy Week.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask if people are interested in, like, say, subscribing to the magazine, or I don't know if you guys have any other ways of getting involved with Astronomy Ireland outside of just attending the events that you guys do. Yeah, are there any, like, how would people go about that? I'm assuming it's on the website, but just give me an idea.
For free, go to astronomy.ie, and, you know, if you're a Facebook person, Instagram person, Twitter X person, sign up for those alerts. We don't publish all the articles on social media. The magazine does all that, but at least if there's a Northern Lights display coming, or the International Space Station, or, you know, we'll post out this afternoon that tonight is the night to see Jupiter next to the Moon, at least you'll get those warnings completely free. And then, of course, if you get the magazine, it costs around €1 a week on average. So if you can afford €1 a week, then you should join Astronomy, and you'll get the magazine posted to you every month, packed full of great stories and what people have been seeing. All the international news, but especially the Irish news, and then every week there's an email sent out to people with even more up-to-date updates. So we just sent that out this morning, in fact, and that's telling people a lot about the comet and the moon watch to get them ready for next week. So for free social media, for €1 a week, you can be a member of the world's most popular astronomy society.
That's amazing. It's also amazing that it's, you know, kind of what you were saying, by proportion, the world's most popular astronomy society. That's absolutely amazing
quite
to hear. Definitely quite an
accolade. I mean, Ireland has a terrible reputation for the weather. So the statistics for looking at the stars, roughly speaking, that 3 out of 4 nights are cloudy. Like all the nights we've had the last few nights for a week. 3 out of 4 of them are cloudy. So we rarely see the stars. And yet we've got the most popular astronomy society. I think the reason is the way that when the sun comes out during the summer, we practically throw a party. If you live in a sunny climate, you know, California, and you know, Spain, Mediterranean, and nice places in the world where it's always sunny, you take it for granted. Nothing special. Another sunny day. Sure, why wouldn't it be? In Ireland, seeing the sky, you know, cause for celebration. I'll be giving a talk this evening in Clondalkin Library as part of Irish Astronomy Week. And what we'll be telling people is that the Irish invented astronomy. Newgrange is the oldest astronomically aligned building in the world. People on this island, nearly 6,000 years ago, were watching the stars and built this huge monument in the Stone Age with no iron tools to help.
Yeah.
Incredible feat even today. But then still back then, it was. It shows how important watching the sky was to them, and it must have come down and through our genes right to the current day.
It always amazes me to think of the fact that Newgrange is older than the pyramids of Giza. It's insane, and it's definitely very interesting, actually, what you're kind of pointing out, that there's a real history and culture around appreciating the stars. I think you're very right. We can't really take them for granted. It's a very big deal when we manage to see anything in the sky that's not a rain cloud.
Exactly. It shows our understanding. I mean, to get the sun to shine down into that chambers, and it's going to take an exact science to get that right. So we were on the money back then.
I'll explain that. I'll actually go into a bit of detail at the talk tonight in Clondalkin Library. And a bit of a spoiler alert for it, but basically, you know, the ancient peoples they were worried about seasons. You know, civilization had come from the Middle East, spread across Europe. Here we are on this island. We've got a crazy thing they don't really have in the Middle East called winter, when it can get extremely cold. I remember some of the cold snaps we've had in this century so far. I think we've got down to minus 15 Celsius or so. That's going to wipe you out if you're an ancient civilization. So you need to know when winter is coming and get ready for it. Just by putting sticks in the ground, coming up to this winter solstice in December every year, you could see the sunrise point moving to the right every day, if it was clear, and eventually stopping. And then the sunrise point moved back to the left. And they realized then that they could count that sun standing still on the horizon point, solstice, and figure out there are 365 days in the year. Then they could have a calendar, plant crops at the best time, harvest them, and if there was a harsh winter, survive. So watching motion of celestial bodies was a matter of life and death thousands of years ago. Today we take it all for granted.
Yeah, we take a lot for granted today. David, you've been very informative today. We're going to have to let you go. We are running down on time a bit, but we'll be shouting out like everything about the Moonwatch coming up, the social media, the magazine. We'll be shouting it all out again at the end of the show. So thank you so much for coming on today and talking to us. I'm sure we'll see you again at some point.
Definitely. Oh, my pleasure. If you're free on Saturday night, do try and get down.
Thanks, David.
Thank you, David.